In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly King, Paraclete, Spirit of Truth, you who are everywhere present and fill all things, treasury of all that is good, Master of life, come, dwell within us, cleanse us from all stain, and save our souls, O good one. Mary, cause of our joy, pray for us. Father, Holy Spirit, amen. We're going to prepare for Lent now. Ash Wednesday is March 5th, a few days after the first Sunday in Lent, as you're well aware. I actually don't have to look it up for you. You're well aware of that. But it's March 9th. The readings of Lent, there's a cycle of three, ABC. The first ones are the traditional ones and have a particular power to prepare us. Now there's a beautiful description that's applicable to everybody. It's in the Rule of Saint Benedict, chapter 49, and where Benedict says, you know, the life of a monk ought to be always, you know, some sort of Lent. But the life of a Christian ought to be Lent. You know, refraining from excessive pleasure, comfort, food, all year long. And then intensifying that a bit in the 40 days that help us get ready for Easter. They're helping some of us during this time to get ready for baptism. So one of the reasons why our Lent can be difficult, not only because of our own need of purification, but because in just about every parish in the world, there are some preparing for baptism. And when we get there, you know, you can study yourself if you want. Look at chapter 6 of the letter to the Romans. Baptized into Christ. What is it? Grafted onto him. Drawing life from him. We all have to prepare to relive that and receive that grace all over again at a deeper level. The Rule of Saint Benedict, chapter 49, has a description which applies to monks, but it applies to everyone. Although the life of a monk ought to have it about it at all times, the character of a Lenten observance, that is, not be totally immersed in self-indulgence of sleep, of food, of pleasure, and so forth. Although the life of a monk ought to have about it at all times the character of a Lenten observance, yet since few have the virtue for that, we therefore urge that during the actual days of Lent, the brethren keep their lives most pure, and at the same time wash away during these holy days all the negligences of other times. See, wash your sin away and correct the negligences, the sleep-ins when you could have gone to daily Mass, the self-indulgence at the table, the gossip, and then more serious sins. All this will be worthily done if we restrain ourselves from all vices. First thing you give up in Lent is sin. And give ourselves up to prayer with tears. A marvelous grace to have the gift of tears. You see? And then, so prayer with tears to reading. Notice how important reading is. It's right here, this very second thing in the observance of Lent, which is just an intensification of the Christian life. To compunction of heart and to abstinence, sorrow for sin. If we ask the Holy Spirit for the gift of sorrow for sin, He will give it to us. In fact, He will give us the gift of tears, which is the grace by which we understand the depth of the mercy and the forgiveness of God, and how we totally do not deserve it. And then we weep out of joy and awe. And that's the gift of tears. So prayer with tears, to reading. One of the great disciplines of the Christian life is to read. And not just the newspaper and the latest whatever, to read. To compunction of heart and to abstinence. Compunction of heart means sorrow for sin. Why does he use this phrase? Because compunction comes from a Latin word that means to lance a boil. It means to let out all the anger, the resentment, the lust, the whatever is there. Turn it over to the Lord and get rid of it. So, tears, reading, compunction of heart, and abstinence. Fast a little bit. Okay. Now, he goes on. During these days, therefore, let us increase somewhat the usual burden of our service, as by private prayers and by abstinence and food and drink. You see? And thus everyone in his own way Thus everyone of his own may offer God with the joy of the Holy Spirit something above the measure required of him. If it's not joy, you see, and sooner or later, it's a burden. But giving the Lord what is His due and repenting for our sins, it's a joy. So he gives some examples. From his body, that is, he may withhold some food, drink, sleep, talking, and jesting. A lot of our jesting is really very superficial. Either to sort of be a little one-up on the other person, or to just get rid of some tension. He says, you don't need that. If you're tense, go to the Lord and repent for your sins, and it'll be all over. And then, this is the other aspect of that, with the joy of spiritual desire, he may look forward to Holy Easter. Let him look forward. With the joy of spiritual desire, that means that the most characteristic of Lent is joy. And that's what he's talking to us about there. And then, let each one suggest to his abbot what it is that he wants to offer. Now, only monks have abbots. If you're serious about your spiritual life, you should have a spiritual father. Spiritual director. In any event, next time you're at confession, as you're getting into Lent, say, Father, this is what I've decided to do for Lent. Would you bless it, please? That's the end of that exhortation, you see. Now about the reading. A few books I want to mention. One is by Father Adrien Locelle. It's been translated into English a long time ago. It's called The Liturgical Year. Now, the copy I'm holding up is the second edition. It was remarkably done and brought up to date by Father Paul Turner. It's from Liturgical Press. It's quite a beautiful book and can help especially priests understand some of the background of Lent and some of the stories, some of the pericope that are used during Lent. Now, this is a very famous book by somebody going to be canonized soon, or at least beatified. Maybe he's already beatified. Maybe canonized. Dom Columba Marmion, an Irishman who was the abbot of the Benedictine Monastery of Maretsu. The book is called Christ in his mysteries, and is very sensitive to the whole notion of every action and word of Jesus is mysterion. It's an act of God in time, because Jesus is the Son of God. And so, to plumb the depths of those, so he starts in chapter 10, on what we're going to be looking at in a few moments, the baptism and temptation of Jesus. So those, from that point on, all the gestures, all the actions of Jesus, that there's room to comment on. He comments here, all the great mysteries, the baptism, the temptation, then the public life in general and the miracles, and then at the other end, transfiguration, the passion, the resurrection. It's a very fine book. Translation has been brought up to date. And this book is from, of course, these days, if you just Google Marmion, M-A-R-M-I-O-N, you'd find it. It's from Zacchaeus Press, which is from where I'm sitting right now, about 10 miles, 12 miles south in Bethesda, Maryland. But if you Google Zacchaeus Press or even Marmion, find this. Probably in the bookstores too. And so, this time, as Benedict's Rule just said, you see, though the whole life ought to be a Lent, in some ways we have to certainly abstain from sin, and not just during Lent. But during these days, Lent, let us increase somewhat the usual burden of our service, as by private prayer, abstinence in food and drink, and thus every one of his own will may offer God, with joy of the Holy Spirit, something above every measure required of him. Got to do with joy. One thing we can take seriously as we think of that in preparing ourselves. Actually, we're preparing the whole world for the mystery of the resurrection, though not everybody is aware of that. But to offer up our little inconveniences and our extra time for prayer and reading for the salvation of the world. A wonderful text by one of the great monks of old, Saint Simeon, I think his name was. Anyway, this is the sign of someone who has arrived at perfection. If that person were handed over to the flames 10 times a day, in witness to and love of Christ, he would consider it not enough. In other words, one of the first signs of growth in the spiritual life is that we care about others. Therese, her whole life was for the good of the church. All the saints spoke that way. In other words, being a Christian is not joining a holiness club. It's entering into the life of Christ, his joy, his union, his love of the Father, also his sufferings. Amen.